Okay. It's 6:03. We're going to open up the regular meeting of the Board of Water Commissioners. All three commissioners are here. According to the agenda that everyone has, I'm going to make an addition to old business based on the fact that the bottom here says matters not reasonably anticipated by the chair. And what I have was given today was a copy of the Ventura Water Department's rate survey and what else was it here then? The RFD that on there?
Public comment.
It's on there.
Oh.
At the beginning of the meeting.
Very good.
Hey,
I didn't think it was going to be on there.
Do we need public comment?
Never mind. We're going to go to public comment first, yeah. I just wanted to make sure that was on there. So, do we have any public comment to start the meeting with? Come on up. And make sure the green light's on that microphone on top.
Hi, Carol Zace, 86 Putnam Avenue. When I was listening to the audio for last month's meeting, I had a question about the water rate survey. It seems like you guys are spending a lot of time on trying to figure out how to do the RFP, and I was just wondering why the commissioners, you guys wouldn't be doing the water rate survey directly yourself. So I did a little research and called the town I used to live in, which is the town of Sudbury, for 22 years and talked to their water district. And I said, you guys, when you change the rates, do you go through this RFP for water rate survey? And they said, no, they just do it themselves because they have software that gives them information on what's going on water usage-wise, which sounds very similar to what you guys have. And so then I called Jen real quickly and said, what do you use? What do you have? And so I just wanted to throw that out there because it seems like we can get that information from the other districts for comparison. We could compile that information together and not be spending so much time on how to do this RFP. So whenever I make a suggestion, I also volunteer my time. So subcommittee, whatever, I certainly wouldn't mind tackling that and finding other people in the community to do that and use the $25,000 maybe towards some of these shortfalls that we have coming up on the security and chemical and whatever. I mean, I know it's earmarked for that, so yeah. You can't just move it around, but it's just a thought I want to put out there. Not everybody does great surveys.
Thank you, Carol. The $25,000 in the motion to do this came from the Prudential Committee. They initiated it. And it's not just a rate survey. They wanted to do a cost of service study, which is a little more than that. They wanted to base the rate survey on the information they got from the cost of service study. And we want to be part of that process and try to come up and get the best possible study done. And we've talked about it. We've met with them, and I've met with the treasurer and the chairperson of Prudential. And it's been passed off to a person, Mike Daly, who has worked with the Prudential Committee for a long time and has come up with some information on that today. So it's a little bit more than just a rate survey, and we'll see what happens. But thank you. Any other public comment? Okay. You got minutes? So the top first minutes is for the regular meeting, October 16th. I don't know if everyone's had a chance to read them ahead of time.
Yeah.
Is there a motion to accept them?
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes of the last meeting, regular meeting.
Second?
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So moved. Now for the workshop meeting on the first of this month.
Everybody's right on my
yeah.
Move to accept the minutes of the workshop meeting on the first of the month.
Second thought.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. And now we get the warrants. Chris, I have a question here.
Sure.
On this line item with Bortolotti, gravel change, station 5,
yep.
The amount of the bill is $24.37, and $8.12 was paid?
Just out of that account.
Okay.
Which has probably been split up between two different things there.
Okay.
And they separated two of it. Actually, they're both out the same account, looks like to me, from here.
Okay.
Yeah, originally.
Oh, see, that's sorry. I see what it is right here.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there were two different things done there. One was gravel change. One was a curb stop, I believe, that needed to be replaced or a sideline. Thank you.
marking paint for water as opposed to yellow or?
I'm sorry, I missed that completely.
I was just wondering, is blue marking paint specific to water marking?
Yes. The blue is water, yellow is gas, orange is telephone, red's electric, green septic, white is pre-marking. There's a whole system out there, yeah.
Okay. Does DigSafe do that for us at all?
What's that?
DigSafe?
Yeah.
DigSafe
basically makes sure that it's all done that through it that way.
Yeah.
But we're not part of DigSafe ourselves. It costs money to be part of DigSafe, so we're the people that they say there could be other utilities in your neighborhood, try calling them. So usually something like that with the blue marking paint was because of the streets being redone or something like that. We had to get out there and use quite a few cans on it. We go through about a case and a half a year. It's not bad. It's a nice chalky, too, and it runs off after a little while. And everything. It's only made to be on there for about 60 days. It's pretty good.
Okay. Water quality?
Sure. All tests came back negative last month. I do believe we're due this month for MTBE. I'll look into it. I was just looking at the schedule here. I believe we had said once a quarter we'd try it.
Yep.
So I'll check on that. We still got plenty of time before the end of the quarter. Everything else came back fine. All tests succeed. We're good right now. I have a report.
So the superintendent's report.
Sure, I'll jump right in. All right. This is the superintendent's report for October of 2017. In October of 2016, we pumped 17,493,000 gallons of water. In October of 2017, we pumped 13,895,000 gallons of water for a decrease of 3,598,000 gallons. We've been right down. Last year was quite a year. We did have 8 inches of rain last year in October, but we, 8 inches. We had 10 inches, though, this year.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we still got more rain than we had last year. Everything's still going. The weather's been pretty nice, up and down. But it seems to be the norm that we're going a lot less with water right now.
About 20%?
Yeah. But last year, we had a record year. It was unbelievable how much water we pumped for the year.
Chris, is there, I was reading an article in the paper about, I don't know what it was. Yeah, it was relative to the Cape, and about the change from permanent residence to summer residence. And they said 37% of the houses, I think, in the Cape now are second homes. So have we seen that change in Catoosa, within our water district? There's more.
Well, I can tell you we have 3296 for summer for winter residents and 4953 for summer.
Yeah, I just wonder if that's changed over time. I mean, that's going to impact the usage of water, right?
Yeah,
and I notice a lot of, I could ask Jen a little more, but just by listening by ear, houses that are selling now, if it's not a, a new house that people are trying, anywhere underneath 300,000, it's getting sold for a second house. A lot of the houses that, might be full-time people now, they're getting bought up as second houses and stuff. But the prices, if they come down, it'll change. But it's tough to buy a house in Catoosa if you're a started, family.
Yeah.
As I think I told you a couple months ago, Catoosa Meadows has built out. So just seeing that, we had no new services last month. And we actually didn't even have any replacement services. I got an email from the gentleman who is been hired to come down and check the infringement that we were talking about over on Main Street. He sent an apology again. He's in the middle of moving, not far, but his business is moving from one area to another in town. And he's a friend of the family, so he's doing this for them and coming down to do the actual measurement. He says, I can assure you, I've been assured by the owner, there's nothing but lawn furniture in the shed and a couple bicycles from the kids. But I have not had a chance. I will get down there as soon as possible. And that was last week that he sent me the email. He hasn't sent me anything since. I drove by there a couple times. I don't see any marks. I haven't seen any out there, any new marks at least, or anything.
Okay.
So just to keep you up on that, as soon as I do, I'll know. If he doesn't do anything this month, I might have to get persistent a little more. They've been really nice. Trying not to be, you know, real persistent on it or anything like that, but it seems that there's nothing there that's going to hurt right now, but I don't know what that is about once it's there for how long. Is it 7 years? 10 years? I think I'll let it go that far, though.
Yeah. Chris, is there any progress on figuring out the north side boundary for the water?
No, that's something that I believe that I'm going to have to get a price from some
surveyor,
at least an idea,
yeah,
from somebody, how much it would cost to have them come in. Just I walked in with Vic not too long ago to check, and the guys have been redoing inside.
Yeah.
And there's a couple places in there that people are putting up posted signs back further into our land, you know, don't go any further than this. A couple different things there. And we're noticing a few things in people's backyards are coming into the woods quite a ways. So we might think it might be a little beneficial just to have the ends tagged along the north side there where the housing development is. And we saw some roofing shingles and stuff piled back there, which we don't really need. But even on their own property, they shouldn't be there. I don't know if it's worth a phone call at some point. But it's going to have to be addressed and looked at a little more. While we're there, and you mentioned that, I'll talk about it now because I don't see it coming up in old business here. I did talk with the forestry gentleman that's out there doing Foster.
Yeah, Foster.
They did lay off because the machine they had in there was just making a mess. He says he has all the plants that he needs. He's hoping to finish before Thanksgiving. He doesn't want to go back in there. He said the first road's clean, or one road's done. The other one he has to clean up some branches and do some chipping on still. But even like today with the rain, he said coming in, he says he doesn't want to get in there and mess it up anymore. He's feeling that he might have to go in there with a track machine just because it won't tear it up like it is right now. It's just making, it's throwing mud everywhere driving around in there. So as he said, if it doesn't dry up, he might have to go in there with something like that. Just, I think he's thinking a mini excavator or something, just so that it doesn't dig. But he says hopefully it'll be done by Thanksgiving, just to let you know.
But he thinks he'll have all the planning done
by
Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Last week I heard from Phil Benjamin. He's still inquiring on the grant money that was available, and trying to figure out if there's a way to put one side into another side with the grant, with the forestry, when we had the done. So he's still working on it. He said he'd let me know as soon as he could also. We have a woman over in Kachewitt Bay Condominiums. I'm going to explain the whole situation. Last year, she had a bill that had 100,000 gallons more than it's ever had. And the whole time she's been there, she's in a condo over there. She averages, the most she's ever used is 32. The least is like 18. And she's always averaged around 22, 23,000. Her usage was 120,000, exactly. Between doing some work over there and looking, she's not there. The place is closed down all winter long. The valve is turned off. she was going to Puerto Rico, now she's not, she's going to Florida. She did not want to pay her bill because she's never had one that it was $200 and something. And she's always only had to pay the minimum use or another $10-15. So she said there was nothing different. I went through, we went over. I looked at the register on the meter, and it had flipped over from just say $99,000 to $200,000. It looked almost to me as though there was a phantom flip over of the dial that was there. So I pulled the register off and I sent it to Neptune to be checked. They said they could do an analysis on it for me, and the way they did their analysis was they ran it backwards and ran it through three different times, and it never double flipped, so everything's okay with it, they said. We've had it near a year now. She used, $26,000 this year. Again. So
the only normal explanation for that would be the double flip from that one sense to one time.
It either double flipped or she had a leak. Now, we put in.
Was she there when that overage was recorded? Was she actively
we
in
only
the condo
read once,
or was
we
she
We only
somewhere?
Read once a year, so it's tough for us to find out anything.
When that
we put in a data logger there. And I've been monitoring it for a couple months. We still have to do it again, and we don't have to make a decision tonight on this. I just want you to be on it at least. She does have a small leak in there that comes on every night at a certain point. There's always seems to be a little bit of running in there, whether it's a toilet, whether it's something, a sink. Something's happening there all the time, and we took this average that she has and times a year, and that only comes out to 20,000 gallons at the most. With the rate that it's being leaking at right now, it's like 2.5 gallons an hour or something like that, I think it is, or in an hour or something like that, not even 2.3 gallons. So we did all the calculations, and I can't come up with 100,000 gallons unless someone left. I said, "Well, maybe you had a faucet going outside." They don't even have an outside faucet. It's a condo.
So there's no chance somebody tapped her line.
Yeah, she's upstairs on a condo, so they don't even have anything like that.
Yeah.
So it had to either be, if a toilet was leaking by, but she says no. She says there was no plumbing done, and it's tough because you don't know if I don't want to say if she's telling the truth or not, or if something happened and she wasn't there, somebody else was there. So it's a lot of water, yeah, and who's never used it. And is very adamant that she didn't.
Has anything like this ever happened before, Chris?
Yes and no, but we've always found either a leak or something's happened like, oh, wait a minute, it could have been, I did have a small leak in my sprinkler system.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as a small leak in the sprinkler system, I'm sorry. But yeah.
She doesn't have one of those.
Yeah, she doesn't have a sprinkler system.
Yeah.
So there's a dishwasher, there's a toilet, and there's a shower, and a kitchen sink. She only has like four things that could even use the water.
Hmm.
So it's very confusing to us. I'd hate to just say, you know what, you have to pay the bill because it went through your meter, and we've never had a meter be bad. I'd love to be the nice guy and say, you know what, we'll take 100,000 gallons off because it could have double flipped. The other thing is, there's always a leak rate. If we say, we'll give you so much, we'll do you at a leak rate, it knocks out, I'm talking to Jen today, it would take off, her bill would go down to $125 from $242.
And normally it's 15.
Normally it's about she pays the $32 or $32, whatever it is every year, 36, and then she pays another 15 on top. So normally she pays under $50 a year, around $50 a year for water. I don't think she'd even want to accept that, but I could ask her.
Okay. Well, we don't have to do anything with it right now.
No, I just want you guys to think about it, think what you thought.
Well, my gut feeling is that the meter flipped.
That's been my gut feeling since the beginning. If you guys want, I can go to her and say, listen, we're going to say it's 20,000 gallons and go from there and write it off and say, you know, we put a new register in there, we're monitoring it, we'll notice this, we're going to end up putting a new meter in there eventually, or it is a new meter that's in there. So.
When does she leave, Chris, for winter?
She's leaving, I think, she might be leaving today, to tell you the truth, or tomorrow.
She doesn't...
She's not shutting it down though this year. Something happened and she has a brother that's going to stay there for a month. She told us.
Okay.
Another option might be to, because you've got a data logger in there now, to tell her, hey, we're going to monitor it for a year. We'll let that 100,000
We'll let you know in another year. I mean, like I said, we're kind of monitoring it.
We'll come back to you after we monitor it.
All right, I'll tell them not to worry about it right now. We'll check it. We'll give it another year and monitor it for, or at least 6 months.
6 months, yeah.
When she comes back.
Yeah, until she comes back. Okay.
All right. Is that it?
I think I had one last thing on it. Oh, yes. I have to come to you every year and tell you that I think my guys have been very nice and they deserve the day after Thanksgiving.
After Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
They have to go out and spend money?
I think Christmas. They get that. That's good, yeah.
Okay. Do we need a motion for that?
Usually, yes.
I'll make a motion that the employees of the Water Department have the day after Thanksgiving off for work well done.
I'll second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
There'll still be someone on call.
It goes as if everybody's on call.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rotation.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you very much from everybody.
So, old business, right?
Yes.
Russell?
I do notice that Pat's not on there either.
I know.
That's old business. Update on the chemical feed.
Green light or the red light?
Red light.
Okay.
I mean green light. I'm sorry, green light.
Okay, we got a red light here. Yeah.
Do you have red light?
We got a red light.
That means the battery's going.
We gotta get Dustin to program it. Well, good evening, Russ Kleekamp, engineer with GHD, and with me tonight, Dustin Sedlak came up from New York. He heads up our instrumentation and electrical department. So, for the detailed questions, I'll ask Dustin to step up here. But just a very brief summary of the last meeting. We talked about some items regarding the security. Surveillance and the SCADA upgrades, and some of the main points were we presented you a report with recommendations with a cost estimate that was $470,000. That was obviously a concern of the commissioners upon funding that. The use of Allen Bradley PLCs, if we were to move forward with that, would require an additional fee of roughly $15,000 per station because the physical size of the units is larger. And also that we had a concern upon initial conversations with Data and Howard that the required input and outputs for the project that they're working on would exceed the existing PLCs, what we have now. So that was some of the major points of the last meeting. So since then, we have had a good conversation with Data and Howard a few days ago, and we feel that there is a way to meet DEPs. I'm sure Mr. O'Neill will expand on this. But it can be very, not easily, but it can be done to meet the DEP's regulations. It's not an ideal setup for the SCADA system, but we understand that you're under some pressure from DEP to get this done, and the last thing we want to do is stand in your way. Talking with Dustin a little bit more, I asked him to break out the costs or take a closer look of just the surveillance aspect of the project, and the total cost for that would be roughly $180,000. And that includes the cost for the network enclosures for the fiber optic cables that are outside the stations right now. And I know that obviously we have to have a discussion on where that money would come from and so on and so forth. But I brought Dustin here tonight to answer some questions. If you have any detailed questions about the SCADA or the report that we put together, now would be a good time to ask them.
First question, Dustin.
Yeah.
Did he take you out to dinner tonight?
Yes, he did. To the Kettle Ho.
Oh, jeez.
It was very dark.
And it was very dark, and I wasn't sure what I was doing.
Okay. So we had this whole process has been a long process, and the scope of the project has changed greatly from the beginning. And the money that we initially requested from the district is not even close to being what we need to complete this project. We just don't have it. So we need to be able to present to the district a plan and a cost to complete it for the surveillance. We need to be able to present them with type of security cameras, all that kind of stuff that goes with it. And also I want to make sure that, I know there was discussion of between two different vendors, is it? Yeah. I don't care which one it is. I just want it to be the one that works the easiest without creating any more financial costs for us. And it's still going to work properly. So can you give us a rundown on the differences between the two systems or the advantages, disadvantages? Or?
Sure, and just so I understand this correctly, you have to get the surveillance aspect of it done. And so what Russ had said was that the surveillance was $180,000 and then the balance of $470,000 was for the SCADA upgrades.
Roughly correct.
Yeah.
A little over $300,000, which I think that obviously would be that's a concern there.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page that the surveillance upgrades, just in a nutshell to summarize what they include all the networking enclosures that are required to accommodate Open Cape's fiber network between all your sites. It includes all the Ethernet switches that's required for that, the UPS and the network cabinet as well to provide uninterruptible power so that the equipment doesn't get fried from electricity and also can operate without power so it keeps the network up. And then in addition to that, it includes the cameras. And just in summary, of your five pumping stations, four of them will get four fixed cameras. They'll each get an indoor camera. And then pump station five gets two outdoor cameras and an indoor camera. And then the two tanks have two outdoor cameras. All that information. And then there's a series of, I think, about six or so cameras at the actual main office.
Mm-hmm.
And then all that video is going to be stored at the main office and accessible and viewable there. That's all for the $180,000.
And that can be done separately from the SCADA.
Absolutely. That part has to occur first, and it has nothing to do with the SCADA upgrade.
And that includes the upgrades at the office to deal with that data.
The surveillance and network upgrades.
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's
why we're saying that needs to be done first is that to accomplish the goal of connecting the SCADA system to fiber optic, obviously the fiber optic has to be interrupted.
Correct.
Okay.
Any questions on the surveillance aspect of it? Before I don't want to muddy the waters by answering the question on the PLC aspect until we're clear on the difference.
Well, I'm just trying to come up with trying to prioritize what we can get done now for what money we have now and what we have to put off till the district meeting in May to request more money.
Mm-hmm.
We have a project right now with going on with the chemical feed that's going to be tied into the system. That is almost a priority to the security system. We want to try to get that done first because we're not going to have the money to do the security system first.
Right.
So that process, the work is going to be done. It has to tie into something. How's that going to work?
Yeah. And Patrick, feel free to chime in at any time. The chemical improvements, GHD and Tata and Howard have been discussing those several times over the last several weeks. And ideally, it would be nice to facilitate full monitoring and control of the chemical feed systems through the SCADA system, which would mean that at each station where the chemical feed equipment and the chemical storage equipment is located, that the local programmable logic controller or PLC would be able to monitor that information, send it all back to the main office so that Chris and his staff can monitor that, record it, and alarm on nuances in the operation of the system. But the existing PLCs that are there have two limitations. One, they're very old, and they're discontinued, and they've been discontinued for a while. And two, that they're missing a specific type of output module that's required to flow pace these chemical feed pumps. It just is not there. And as a result, full monitoring of the chemical feed system is just not possible without upgrading the PLC. But what can be done, and this is just a conversation we even had yesterday with Tate and Howard's design team and Russ and myself, was that there some design aspects could be done to still flow pace those chemical feed pumps based upon the flow meter that's at the pumping station and not do it through the PLC. So that's possible without upgrading the PLC, and that's what Russ introduced in the beginning, was that we developed a solution that's non-ideal, but it will meet the intent of the chemical feed upgrades, we believe.
Okay, so if we can do that, then there will still have to be some work done if we want to have it tied into the new system.
There could be some basic level of monitoring.
Yes.
So our
satisfactory, satisfactory monitoring?
Correct, yes. Tate and Howard believes that as a minimum, you need to be able to determine that there's a leak at the facility, so the chemical bulk tank leak, there's an excursion of chlorine residual, meaning that your chlorine residual is too low or too high. Also to be able to monitor the pH, if the pH is too low or too high. And there was another alarm. I think there was one additional alarm, I can't remember what it was, but there was one other alarm. So the existing PLCs do have enough signals to accommodate those. So the existing PLC, those handful of alarms could be wired to the existing PLCs. The existing PLCs could be modified to send that data back through the radio system that's there today into the SCADA computer that's at the main office. So that could be done with your control system the way it is today. Without the surveillance system upgrades, without any PLC upgrades, that basic level of monitoring could be done. And what we talked about with Tata and Howard was that their design would accommodate additional signals that could be tied in later when the PLCs were finally upgraded. So the overall objective of control and full monitoring could be achieved at a later date when the PLCs are actually upgraded. That could be built in now so that you just have to wire up to it and do some programming when the PLCs are upgraded.
Is everyone on the same page with that?
Absolutely. Well, let me ask a pretty basic question here before I forget it. Maybe separating it out of the surveillance system is easy. What's the anticipated annual upgrade maintenance of the system going to cost? Do you have a
the surveillance system or the SCADA system?
Well, take them separately, but both.
So the surveillance system, there's no recurring cost of the system itself. It's not like you're leasing a service that you have to pay annually, and then if you stop paying, that they turn your water off. That's not happening here. You're buying all the equipment. It'll function on day one. All the bugs will be worked out through the construction contract, and then you'll be into maintaining the system. So if you have a camera failure or there's vandalism, then you're going to need to replace those components. What is the anticipated life cycle of that equipment? You know, 15 years is the anticipated life cycle of that equipment. You know, cameras will probably, you know, be damaged by the environment before they'll actually fail in most cases. But the cameras that are being designed here are not, you know, NASA-level cameras, and they're not Best Buy cameras either. They're what's appropriate for the environment and for what they're trying to achieve. without getting too exorbitant with costs. Like, for example, pan-tilt zoom cameras are 5 times the cost of fixed cameras. So we use a lot of fixed cameras in the design to get you the images you needed without getting luxurious with the costs. So that's the surveillance system. Any questions on the maintenance of that? So there's no recurring scheduled maintenance lifetime.
Other than the replacement after 12, 15 years.
Correct, and it wouldn't be a full-scale replacement. Your infrastructure of your network is there. That wouldn't necessarily need to be.
I mean, the camera.
You could help us with budgeting for an annual
absolutely
camera failure or whatever failure.
Correct. It'd be good to have one camera on hand as an uninstalled spare, and that's something that Chris and his staff could likely replace all on their own. And the vendor for the surveillance system that's being proposed is just out of mass, and they're very responsive. And we've done another project with them in Chatham, and they've done well in serving them. So they're there. And you're not locked into any specific manufacturer of camera. These are all, I can't pronounce it, Avigilon cameras, but you could use a Pelco camera, you could use different cameras, so you're not locked into one vendor. In this circumstance, you can mix and match. On day one, it's all going to be the same manufacturer, but you can mix and match this if you want to.
Okay.
So the maintenance on the SCADA system is the second part of your question. The maintenance on the SCADA system, the system you have there, you've squeezed every last nickel out of that one. It's still running, and that's great, but it is time to upgrade, and you recognize that, and that was what the assessment part of this project was. And generally the component that needs to be maintained is the software and the computers. So really the consumable is the computer. A Windows-based computer, like any of us at home have a computer, it's great for 2, 3, 4, 5 years. After about 5 years you have problems where your operating system is vulnerable, maybe not supported by the manufacturer, Microsoft. When that happens, you have to buy a new computer. When you buy a new computer, as you may have done, now you can't use your old version of Microsoft Office, you can't use your old version of this software or that software because it's not compatible with the new operating system or the new computer. So that's what drives the bus on upgrading the SCADA system, typically, is that you have to finally buy a new computer, and when you buy that new computer, then you have to get new software. And the SCADA software can be fairly expensive, you know, $8,000 in software. So generally what I see with all my clients, and I've been doing this for almost 20 years, is that after, when we buy the computer and the computer we recommended, we come with a 5-year warranty. So it's guaranteed to run for 5 years. Today Windows 10 is available. In 5 years, when the warranty is up, you would budget to buy a new computer for, let's just round up, $3,000. You buy that one also with a 5-year warranty. And usually the life cycle of a Microsoft operating system is at least that long. So you should be able to still get Windows 10 and not have to upgrade your software because it's the same operating system, but it's new hardware. You get a 5-year warranty. Now that's 10 years of operation from today. In 10 years, you would need to buy another computer because your 5-year warranty would be expired. And at that point in time, Windows 10 won't be around anymore, or we should assume it won't be, and then you'll have to bite the bullet on buying the software, which would be, you know, about $8,000. So every 10 years, essentially, you're buying a new computer and software, and every 5 years, you're buying a new computer only. That's the software side. On the PLC side, PLCs generally, the life cycle is 20 years. You have little pieces and parts that can get damaged from lightning, surges. There are some consumables that, you know, only last about 12 years, like a DC power supply. So, but those are little few $100 things that, you know, can be replaced by any electrician or even the operations staff, depending on what the proficiencies are. Did I answer your question?
Yeah. So what's the cost for the PLC then? If it's got a 20-year life cycle, I'm sure that's probably in the document here. What's
Yeah, so, I mean, we can look at your PLC that, you know, right now at any of the old sites, you have, like, any of your pumping stations 1 through 5, you have an old Modicon, that's Schneider Electric, a Modicon PLC. The model is a compact. That was discontinued about 10 or 12 years ago. And what we're talking about is upgrading that PLC.
And but we're also saying that we might be able to get through with those now.
Until for a year at the moment.
Yeah.
For a year or so. Right.
Then we'll have to upgrade.
To get,
cause we need
to get
the
chemical feed put in.
Correct.
And then
we're going to still have to buy it.
Right. So, then we'll have to upgrade down the line because it's almost 20 years old now, basically, the scale system, yeah.
So the PLC, in our evaluation, the upgrade cost to take you from your Modicon Compact PLC today and replace it with the latest model of Modicon PLC is both materials and labor, just to replace the PLC, not the enclosure and all the other goodies that are inside of it, just the PLC aspect.
Yeah, right.
Materials and labor, I think we had said $12,800. Okay, and that was based upon a cost that we solicited from an integrator that builds panels for a living.
And that's now, in a year from now, maybe up a little bit.
I'm sorry?
That's now, but a year from now, maybe a little bit more.
It's possible that, you know, there's not big inflation on there's not big inflation on PLCs,
okay.
And there's not a season for it. It's not like there's a run on them come Christmas time or anything. So, the cost is fairly stable. I wouldn't expect. I would think that those costs would be pretty darn close in a year.
Now, did you want to jump in now?
An enclosure? They're in an enclosure today, so to upgrade them, you could pull them out of the enclosure and put the new ones in the enclosure. And that kind of goes to the cost difference, the difference between, if you want me to answer the Allen Bradley Modicon question now. When Modicon designed a replacement for the Compact, they developed the M340 model, understanding that they're going to have an existing infrastructure that is going to have to be upgraded. They made sure that the new model fit inside the old model's footprint. So they made it easily so you can take these wiring arms off, like these preformed connectors. You can pull them off the I.O. modules, and then you can pull the old PLC off. You can stick the new PLC on, and they have wiring adapters that you can plug the old wiring arms into. So now it's a plug-in, almost like a plug-and-play thing. They have a utility. You can convert your PLC program. There's still some additional work that needs to be done, both in the programming side as well as, you know, some minor wiring stuff. But they made it so that it fits in that same footprint. So you don't have to replace the enclosure that works. The problem with going with Allen Bradley is Allen Bradley's Compact Logix, coincidentally it's a very similar name, it's a little bit bigger. And those panels are very tight. When they're built, people were shoehorning things in, and they didn't do you any favors in leaving you some space. And if you had an extra 5 inches of width, available space in that panel, you would be able to use the Allen Bradley. But for this reason, if you want to proceed with the Allen Bradley, we're now looking at replacing the entire enclosure. And then when you do that, you generally don't take all the devices out and put old devices in a new panel.
Right.
You're building a whole new panel, and those are pretty busy panels.
Yeah.
So you're at least double the cost. But your original question was, are we in good hands with either of these PLC manufacturers, Allen Bradley or Modicon? And, you know, they're both global. They're both globally present. They're both present in North America. They're both very well-supported across North America. They're both well-supported in Great Lakes and New England region, as well as in Massachusetts itself. So this is a matter of preference, and if you ask people where the best place to eat is, everyone's going to come up with something different. If you ask people what the best car is, they're going to have different preferences. And, the region I serve is from New York down into Virginia, all the way over to the coast here up into New Hampshire. And, I know that people have very strong opinions on this, but what I've learned is that you know, those manufacturers are solid anywhere you go. So I think you're in good hands regardless. You'll be able to get spare parts. None of those businesses are going to close. They're all very large businesses. And if anything, they suck up new businesses and they don't get sucked up. So I think you'd be in good hands either way for 20 plus years.
Okay. Now.
Well, without reiterating, I'm Patrick O'Neill with Tate and Howard, and we're working on the design of the chemical safety upgrades for all the pump stations. Without reiterating everything, I'm in agreement with where they're at. Going back to the beginning when we looked at this after DEP's inspection and gave you the budget, we had talked to your existing SCADA integrator about the panels because of their age. He advised us he could handle the I.O. for communications of the data we needed to with the existing system. So we budgeted for integration time to pick up the signals we needed, not, you know, the PLC upgrade, yeah, which was obviously needed beyond that. And then we've had the discussions with Russ and Dustin. Sorry. So I think we're on agreement. We can accomplish our goals and your goal for compliance with chemical safety with DEP, and we're on track to do that. The documents are ready to go to DEP this week. The superintendent has reviewed them. He'll get a final set with this submittal. We will press DEP for a quick review. There's nothing really rocket science as far as what's being proposed. And we'll push forward to going out to bid in December. And our goal is to have it complete before the summertime needs of water pumping. There is, you know, a long list of, a wish list of IO as far as controls, some of which is mandatory from DEP, alarms, interlocks to shut things off. Those mandatory features can be accommodated. We will have wiring in place, as Russ said, for other features to, for convenience for the operators, for their control and monitoring of the systems in the future once the SCADA is upgraded to handle that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it may not be rocket science to you, but it is to me, because I'm lost with all this stuff. Having said that, that's why we have people advise us. We have people that we trust because we work, have a history with them. We have history with Russ, history with you. Russ gives glowing reports from Dustin. So we have to, we depend on people to guide us. And then we have to see how, we have to make decisions if there's a choice based on what our, we have for money, because we're responsible to the district taxpayers too. My concern is, number one goal is that the chemical feed system can be done within our budget, with the money we have to work on within this fiscal year. And if it's really done by the May meeting, the end of May, that'd be awesome. So we can report that it's done. The other part of this is we have to go back to the district to give money to complete the security system and the SCADA upgrade. We need to have a good firm hand on what the cost is to do that and a timeline to do it. So when we go back to them, we're only going back to them once, not twice. Because now, because we're already going back the second time now, even though it's been quite a few years, and the whole thing is, the scope of the project has changed dramatically when it was first introduced. We trust the, I know there was a question about the two different types of two companies, and if you had a preference, if there's one that's better than the other, it's going to service better, is there one, or they're both the same?
I would just say that you're in good hands with either one.
Okay.
And I think that you're going to save significant costs before the monitoring.
Okay. yeah.
If there was no cost difference, I would still really leave that decision to you.
Yeah. Okay.
It's just a lot more work. It's a lot more money.
That's right.
Yeah. Russ, you know the whole history of this, don't you?
Sure.
Are we going in the right direction here?
We are. I mean, these are essential.
I think all of these are essential upgrades, with the priority being the work that Tate and Howard's doing. But I also acknowledge that, you know, we've talked in the past about cost estimates and numbers for these, and the fact that we were lucky enough to get that USDA grant. And I feel the cost for the surveillance is fairly close to in line to what we always anticipated it to be. The cost, obviously, for the SCADA upgrades is, can be treated as a new project and a new benefit, a new upgrade to the system, and that's something that can be discussed. You had mentioned at one point that it would have to be presented to the Prudential Committee a detailed and precise estimate of the cameras, the surveillance, what the need is. Is there a meeting that we should prepare for to have a, we can maybe clean up the cost estimate to make it a little more palatable for the layperson, and separate the surveillance and the SCADA costs?
Well, I think more that, not so much the Prudential Committee, we're going to have to come up and inform them about our budget for the next year. We're going to have to bring forward to the district meeting not only a normal regular operating budget, but anything we need extra, as we will for this project.
Mm-hmm.
I think what we're going to need to do is make a presentation to the Civic Association to inform the people before the May meeting.
Sure.
So if anyone has any questions, they can, it can be put out there and they can ask their questions and it can be explained.
Sure.
So I think something like that, unless you have any ideas, Chris?
No, I think you're going in the right direction. My question, just to Russ, I'm sorry, I was changing the batteries in the mic. You had mentioned about beforehand. I have a price, I believe, on my desk to bring the fiber optic in to put a panel.
$17,800 and change.
Around $18,000.
Correct, a little under.
Which I believe is almost what will be left in the actual security fund that we have left. So my goal, quite possibly before this, if I can work it right out of the budget, will be to have that fiber optic in and ready to be able to be done. The contract will be gone.
Absolutely.
Yep. So, but they need this, I believe, before they can finish their last point.
Correct. So they can test the fiber after. Right now, they can't test it to verify the signals going to all locations.
Right. They still have left in their contract around $7,000 to go across the street. And something else, I believe it is.
Right, which is still available under the USDA application.
Right.
And we do have two other line items in the USDA, a $12,000 for additional design and a $5,000 for an other. So if we need to use that $5,000 for to cover if there's a $2,000 or $3,000 difference in the existing budget, I'm certain that we can get that done with the USDA.
All right.
I would recommend maybe the April, if there's a civic meeting the district meeting's in May, correct?
Towards the end of May.
Towards the end of May. So maybe the closest civic association.
It could even be early May. When's the civic, what week of the month is?
May 31st.
We can make it up.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we'd have to have a figure for production committee.
I figure, yes, your presentation.
March, we bring them something?
We have to give them our budget in March.
Okay.
So the numbers we have to have, but the presentation doesn't have to be till May.
We can come up with we have numbers, and those can be, we can send those along if we need to clean them up a little bit to make it a little more clear. No problem. And then that would be great if we could come back and present, and hopefully everyone will be on board.
Great.
So just to clarify, for now then, we'll with the SCADA assessment, we'll table it until May. So we come back?
I think that's going to have to be done. If we can get what Chris talked about so that the lines can be tested.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll do that piece
initially.
Yeah. Have that done.
And I'll talk to you a little more about it.
Okay.
And we'll try to figure out exactly.
Okay.
I mean, I've got most of your figures in different emails about
Sure.
As the steps and everything else.
Well, maybe if we're going to take a break for a few months, we can just kind of formally close it out a little bit, and you know,
yes.
That way Dustin can advise
yes.
his group at some point next spring. This will be picking up again, so.
Okay.
And we've got the money for the chemical feed upgrades
yes.
now, and we've got the $200,000 budgeted.
That's almost gone.
That's almost gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you look.
So that's
right here.
Because of the line, to bring the lines in.
Yeah.
It took
what we also got to realize is we took $26,000
to get radios.
I think to get radios to bring up the current system because we were having trouble with our radios. They weren't communicating. So we had $178,000 left in there, whatever it was. That was put in as part of the USDA loan that secured that $178,000. That's all getting paid by grant money right now. So we haven't, that this fund that we have here hasn't hurt the taxpayer in any way right now. This is all USDA funds that has been paying this back. I think that there was going to be a balance left afterwards because it bought the land for Lowell Park, the tank, and that security was all put in at the same time for that USDA funding. We got the $2 million loan and the $500,000 grant. So that $500,000, we've got the $2 million done with the loan now, and we've been working off the $500. As long as it has to do with this stuff here, they're taking it off. So that grant money, I mean, that security money can still be taken out that we're trying right now out of the
right.
grant money.
And that was originally $200,000.
But it still has to come out of the fund.
Right.
That's
yeah.
That's the thing, yeah.
I don't want to, I'm not clear that the money that the district received from the grant is money that we have access to.
We don't have any access to.
Yeah.
It can only go, I've been told by our treasurer, he will not pay a bill until it's been reimbursed into the fund. So Russ has to send in whatever bill comes
okay.
in
okay.
to
yeah.
the guy to be refunded, and they're only taking an average of, what, 4 days now, 5 days? It's really quick right now.
Yeah.
And then he'll pay off the bill because
okay.
he has to have the funds in there first to pay the bill.
Okay. You guys have any questions? How long did it take to drive here, Dustin?
About 6 hours.
I hope the dinner was worth it.
and thank you for coming.
Working in Massachusetts and on the Cape specifically since I started with Stearns & Wheeler, which is our previous
okay.
company.
Wow.
So my team handles all the controls needs
yeah.
for the company on the East Coast, and I've worked with Ross, and I think I was here before you, and Mark Drainville, and all the Bill Hall Jr. out of the Hannes office. So I love being here, and we got a lot of clients here, and
okay.
you know, not going anywhere.
Well, be careful driving back home.
You bet.
All right.
Thank you.
Two other real quick notes. One, this Monday, 21st, is the first of two Cape Cod Commission hearings for the cell tower, so 5
yeah,
p.m.
Right.
this venue. Secondly, I did hear back from Attorney Boudreaux. It looks like there is some progress paying.
Again,
yeah, I just go
call again. I called him on that stuff last week.
Okay, good. I know that everybody wanted to close out projects, so
mm-hmm.
hopefully the DISCO water tank project will be done soon.
Okay.
Where's the Monday meeting?
It's
right here.
I don't yeah. think it's
right
is
here.
Is
it Monday or is it Tuesday?
It's Tuesday, the 21st, isn't
21st,
it?
21st, I'm sorry. It's the 21st. That's
21st,
Tuesday.
5 o'clock.
5
here.
P.m.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And we did get, did you guys get the response also from?
Yes.
Yeah. It's on Councilor Grissetti's blog also, if you'd like to look at it.
No.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Nick.
Hold on.
Bye.
You.
You would think so.
All right. The next thing we have on the agenda is the water rate cost of study study. And I just today, or this afternoon actually, got this paperwork that they've come up with an RFP to send out. And it has, you know, probably 12 items here. as objectives. And I only have one copy. I don't have.
I can send it around. I wanted to make sure I got permission from you to send it around before I did.
Real quick question about that. Chris, you probably know the rules here. We're staying under 25,000, right?
Yes.
Do we need an RFP?
No.
No.
Okay.
That's just what it's going to get to.
He's put this out. This is to send out for, right, like you can send out to three vendors.
Okay. So you
A minimum of three. It doesn't say you have to stop at three.
Okay.
You have to have a minimum of three.
So that's the point I wanted to get to, because they gave us a suggested list of vendors to send it to. We're going to add a couple on there.
I believe
so. We're going to be inclusive. Okay. I don't know if we want to read this out loud or we want to. What do you want to do with this?
It was handed to you. It was you're the one who talked about it with, I believe, didn't you?
Yeah. I mean,
I don't
as
know
far as the objectives, you know, perform a comprehensive water cost, water utility cost of service rate study, B, determine fire service cost, C, development, submission, and approval of project work plan, which includes an outline of assigned tasks, project completion milestones, and a project work schedule in compliance with expected deadlines. D, review the district's current water cost of service methodologies to identify potential issues and concerns, provide assessments, and identify issues to be reviewed in the current study in order to adhere to industry practice for setting equitable rates for all. E, review customer demand information, peak factor calculations, bill frequency distribution, and extra capacity cost allocation methodologies. F, conduct an assessment of district records and databases required for cost of service analysis and rate design, including data and plant assets, utility operations, facility designs, and customer service demands. G, perform a comprehensive cost of service analysis, including the performance of analysis of water utility system cost causation, so as to allow for assignment of revenue responsibility among existing customer classes. Conduct analysis of the effect of alternative methods of cost functionalization and allocations and classifications on class revenue responsible assignments. H, develop alternative rate options that are based upon the assignments of relative revenue responsibility, determine under objective F above, and address other district policy objectives. These policy objectives would include, but are not limited to conservation incentives, adding additional block rates, intra-class equity between new and existing customers, and intra-class equity between inside and outside town customers. I recommend water service rates that equitably apportion revenue responsibility among customer classes in accordance with costs incurred by the utility and the customer in provision with that service. Review and assess the creation of or elimination of customer classes, including but not limited to individual or grouped industrial customers, vertical mixed-use customers, and inside versus outside district classes. J, review and assess the district policies regarding interclass subsidies and variances from cost of service for residential, commercial, and industrial customer classes. K, develop a cost of service analysis computer spreadsheet model that incorporates the cost of service methodologies. This model will become the property of the district, provide training for the district staff on the operation of the cost of service model so the town can annually update the model and perform rate design options. L, ensure customer classes are adequately apprised of the analysis conducted and have an opportunity to comment on the cost allocations and rate designs developed and recommended. And finally, M, offer expert assistance and support in rate case defense or prevention with work paper preparation, including briefs, exhibits, and testimony. So that is the objectives of this study. It gives a brief synopsis of what the Kootenai Water Department, how much water it draws, how many stations it has, how many customers winter and summer, total pumpage for a year, and total pumpage for a day, how many interconnections there are between Mashpee and Com, water miles, how many hydrants, stuff like that. So this is probably what they're going to go with.
Do we...
couple things that usually come up in rate studies is what are the neighbors charging? I didn't really catch that in that scope, but whenever we present, you know, at a hearing, and it's always presenting increases, nobody goes down in their rates. The question comes up, well, what do they pay in Sandwich, or what do they pay in Calm? Or so we typically would include that comparison. For like-sized communities, you can't compare yourself, you know, to Falmouth with that size system. So we look in the area, systems of similar size, you know, structure, your district, not a town, water department, and come up with a schedule just to show, you know, the public how do you compare. Are you,
mm-hmm.
you lower than most or higher, or where you fit in the mix?
Mm-hmm.
The other piece is your other fees, and it seems like most of the scope was tied to the rates, but you also have a fee schedule for connections, and that's something to look at, for new developments, and development has been somewhat slow, but...
Well, we are built out now.
You're already built out.
Yeah.
So
that would be not really a...
I think we're built with another 60 houses we'd be built out, but you never know if they could build 8 houses in a couple of them lots.
Yeah.
So it's still, you say that, and then you got two residents that just went in there.
I don't know if that would be a recurring income that we could depend on. I think rate would probably be the... what we'd be looking for. I just don't see enough new construction that would hang your hat on anything.
Oh, yeah, it's typically not a big component of your revenue side. But if you do have a fee schedule for different size services, it probably should be looked at to make sure it's up where it should be. If you charge for private hydrants and those aspects. But you're right, it's a minor...
I don't know. I mean, I just.
I'd like to find to digest it. I mean, I need to read things and let them sink in a little bit.
Yeah.
The one thing that I didn't hear in there, and maybe missed it, was, what are the anticipated improvements that we need over the next 5 or 10 years that should be figured into those.
Originally, that's what was there. That's insane.
I
think the cost analysis.
Listen between the lines.
Yeah.
And I would have to read it too. But you're right. That has to be in there. What we would typically do is we look at your expense side and forecast your recurring normal expenses,
mm-hmm.
electricity and labor and all that. And then also your capital, whatever your debt service is now. And then what is your capital plan next 5 years? Plug in the debt service for your capital plan. If you have a preventive maintenance plan, like DEP asked you for a little while back, but put in those costs into the forecast and then now you're calculating the rates against that future bond cost and the like. So
okay,
but I kind of listened between the lines, and
I don't know.
I'm assuming it's in there.
10 years, we have to replace that computer.
Okay, so I just this is all new to me today. I do want to make sure. I want to make sure more people than it's on this list gets a copy of that when it gets sent out. That's all. Anything else on that?
No, I'm good with that. You're good with you've updated us. You're gonna send the stuff in. Go for it.
So is that going out from the Prudential Committee?
Well, Prudential Committee is the one that requested the money. They're the ones that are doing it.
Yeah.
I don't know. My guess is that's pretty much Mr. Daly put that together at the request of the Prudential Committee, and I'm guessing that's going to be it.
So they're not asking for our input? For their
well, we had input in the beginning.
Yeah, I think it, you know, if you could expand just who it goes to, that might help a little bit.
Yeah, but I can think we still we can make copies and get this to
let's
you.
Get copies.
I can. Yeah. I got the electric version.
Yeah.
I can set it up.
Send
and
it
then we can talk. But I just wanted to bring it up so we have it in our mind. Anything else for old business?
I think we're good there. I kind of have something under new business, but
I do so.
Oh. I bet your mind will take a lot quicker. Let me go first.
Okay.
I bumped into Phyllis Miller today, leaving the post office, and she brought to my attention that the sign out in front of 671 Main, the Gatuit residence, it's called now, it says sales and leasing there now. Which I don't understand. I know that they're supposed to have two affordable units and that they're only over 55, but she also has talked to Ms. Grissetti about this, who's supposed to talk to Charlie McLaughlin or Ruth Wheel there from the town of Barnstable. She just suggested that we should talk to our lawyer about it also because it's right on top. Well, as I went by to look at the sign, I saw that one of the units said sold on it and one said sale pending. So it looks like they're actually doing some selling over there, which they haven't done at all. And I actually went online to see what was there for condo fees and everything, and the condo fees are quite high because he has written in for water testing and everything else on there. So a lot of the stuff that we need is there. I just don't know if they're leasing out there, if they're responsible for condo fees also, if they're leasing the place or something.
Okay.
So it might be something just to ask somebody.
You have something you want to say? Carol?
It is my understanding that there are two parties interested in purchasing, but there isn't a security deposit, or I forget what the words are, but there isn't money put aside yet to start the condo association. So the people can't buy until that's in place, and there isn't money to get that in place. So it's like...
Okay.
And the leasing is potentially, I don't know where it is in being approved or not, but it would be for 1 year minimum type of rentals is what I've heard.
Okay. So we have to find out more about that.
And the town of Barnstable should be the one enforcing all this that's there, I believe, because they are the ones who put the 55 and older. They also bought the restriction with us. They did. They supposedly, didn't they buy a unit or something to that effect? Maybe they did something. They paid money, I believe, besides this. Something happened there. I might have to call Charlie on it, talk to him a little bit, just to find out, refresh my memory. I'll go in my old file and take a peek at it again.
Okay, so if you look under new business, it says computer system, Ray Perrone, treasurer, tentative. And now I'll just tell you what that's about. Ray called me up about 3 weeks ago and said that the fire department and the Prudential are looking at getting a computer program that
you need to run for good.
That works better for them, and it may be an advantage for us. And it referred to the fact that when we get audited every year, there's a negative mark that comes with only one person handling the money. We have Jen. There's only, you know, they consider they like to have two people, so there's that this program may be more of a secure way to assist in that and make it more palatable for everybody. But the process is going to happen, and it's happening now. The fire department commissioners have voted last night to go with this new program, and they're going to work with Prudential on that. I think they're going to pay for Prudential to be part of it too. And when they get all their stuff going, the chief of the fire department, Ray, and this gentleman that knows this program inside and out is going to meet with Jen and Chris to see if it's something that we could use that would be of advantage to us. At that time, we will know if there's a cost involved and what it is, if it's part of a budget we have already. We'll just know more. But it's something that's going to be coming down the road fairly quickly, I would think. And I wanted you to be aware of it.
This is accounting software?
I don't know. See, this, you know, when they start talking to me, it goes right over my head.
Well, I talked to Chief Root today a little bit about he's going to set up a meeting at our shop with this gentleman and Jen and myself just to talk a little about it, make kind of a sales pitch to us and everything on it. I believe it's a maintenance agreement, an off-site storage facility, something to do with the cloud, a couple different places. Right now, when they were looking originally, we gave them the name of what we use, and they didn't like the guy's offer at all. They said that he was like double the amount of money that this guy is with a better system, they think. So it's worth a listen to and everything. We're not opposed to talking to somebody.
Yeah.
Fine.
But ultimately it has to work for us.
The software.
Yeah. It's a software program that would give everybody their own email address and everything else through it.
Is this proprietary stuff? Or don't they know? What is Barnstable use, the town?
They have their own IT department.
Do they use some software that's on the market?
I'm not positive, because it's tough. Like, it's the same thing as, you know, we've talked about for years trying to get into online paying.
Yeah.
And somehow we're taking credit cards or anything, but we just, it's too expensive for us to do. It would cost the taxpayer, you know, an extra $3 to $4 just to pay their bill online if they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have the system really to do it because we take the money here and we give it over to here. So we'd have to set up some account through Ray and maybe this would be the first step.
Maybe that to
like
do that kind of network.
It'd be nice if the town has something we can freeload on.
Yeah. Okay. But so I think we're done. We have a motion to close the meeting.
I have a motion to close the meeting.
Second.
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye. And the next meeting will be the 13th at 6:00.
Correct.
Next regular meeting. 5:00 for the workshop.
Yeah.
6:00 for the workshop.